Well, we've definitely taken a turn somehow, some way. I don't know exactly what it all's going to look like over the course of the next week. But again, just so glad that those of you that have decided to make it today, you're here. And today we're going to take a look at risking some challenges. Pastor Scott and his crew are still on their way back from the Dominican Republic, and we are kind of tag teaming this message for you today. We are going to take a look first at the greatest commandment, and then I will take a look at loving your neighbor. Then he will talk about the risks we take in our teachings when we're speaking these things, and I will talk about the risks we take when we listen, and we'll end today with a message of going back and forth a little bit on taxation. I hope you find today's message a really kind of a neat way of kind of doing this. And without further ado, I will invite Kevin to begin the first set with Pastor Scott.
Hello, my friends. Again this week, I am down in the Dominican Republic, along with three others from our church and 11 others from the Dakotas and Minnesota, as we're on a solar oven project on a mission team. And it is just a joy to be able to come and to be present and bring the message to you this morning. So, let's jump in with the scripture today. And it is the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. We've heard that before. We think we know what to do with it. But here's one of the things that I know, that as we grow in age and as we grow in maturity, that our beliefs begin to shift and change. And so one of the things that I know is that one of the greatest risks that we take is when we are challenged by teachings. That in our teachings, there is great risk in what we are learning and absorbing. All right. Let's just say that you and I had never met before. And let's just say that you wanted me to get to know you. Well, you gave me permission to come over to your house or to your apartment, and for 1 hour, I just get to snoop through your life. And so I come over, you're not there, I open the door, I walk in, and I start looking. I walk through the hallway, I walk through the kitchen, I walk through the living room, I walk through the bedroom and the bathroom. I get to see your entire house. I get to see how you arrange the furniture. I get to see, is it messy or is it clean? I have permission from you to go into your drawers and sort through and see what kind of socks you have, or here's what's in your desk, all kinds of things. I have permission from you to go onto your computer, and I get to see, here's your bank account, and I get to sift through, and I get to look and see, where have you been buying things, what have you been buying? I get to go into your refrigerator and see what it is that you normally eat. Look, there's your calendar on the wall, and I can see exactly what you're up to and where you're going. Within 1 hour, I would know an enormous amount about you. And if you were to do the same to me, you would know an enormous amount about me. That would be a snapshot of who you are right at that moment. But now, picture this. I get to come into the same thing 10 years later, and then 20 years later, and then 30 years later. Do you think that your house, your apartment, everything in there is going to be the same year after year after year? And the answer, of course, is no. I'm going to find some things that are the same. I'm going to find some of the same furniture, some of the same books, some of the same. But there's a huge amount that's going to be different. Why is that? Because as we mature, we change. And what is most fascinating is that we are challenged to change. by the teachings that are going on inside of our lives. Do you know the word maven? A maven is a person who knows everything about a specific topic. All right, so for instance, I have a friend who is a maven on gas stations. If I were to travel across the state of North Dakota, I could call him and say, where is the cheapest gas? Where is the best place to buy gas? And he would be able to tell me right now. I have another friend over in Rapid City who is a maven on computers. If I ever need to change computers, I don't begin by going to the computer shop. I begin by picking up the phone and calling my friend, because he knows. He's a maven, and he knows what's going on. Our beliefs change as we learn. When I listen to my maven friend who knows gas prices, that's going to change what route I take across the state of North Dakota. When I have a friend who's a maven with computers, that's going to change how I purchase my next computer. Well, these are gradual changes, and those are very, very positive changes. But the fact of the matter is that the more that we know and the more that we learn, the more that we are challenged and absorb new teachings, new things. And Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? His response was twofold. The first one he said was exactly the words that we shared. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And then, of course, he said, and there's a second part. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. Well, today, I get to do this sermon in coordination with Dave Zanton. And so I get to speak for part of it, and then Dave's going to speak. So, here we go. I want you to know that one of the most powerful changes and challenges that we can have is when we actually begin to live and live in a different way year by year, the challenge of what it means to love God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. We change. Think about this. How is it that you understood God and loved God when you were 5 years old, and then 15 years old, 25, today? How is it that you know and understand God? Because it has changed. We have learned, we have grown, and our belief in how God moves and works changes. Now, here's what I know. For so many of us, the issue is not the issue. When we understand how we love God, it also is a direct reflection on how we love people. And the beliefs that we have in who we love and how we love is a direct reflection on how we love God. And so if you tell me that you love God, and then in the next sentence, you begin to tell me how irritated and how hateful you are toward other people, something's wrong. Something is wrong. And it's all about learning then. How is it that we take the challenge, we take the risk of listening to teachings that will change us as we learn to grow and go deeper in our understandings of God? All right, think about that. But now, I want Dave to take this and talk to you about that, the second part of the command, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. Ready, Dave? Go.
I kind of chuckled the last couple of services. The way he said that, ready, Dave, go, I almost kind of felt like I should have started at that back table and run up to come and share this moment with you. I really love what Pastor Scott's been talking about with us in that very beginning of this discussion with the message today. He's talking so much about how we understand and know God kind of has changed as we have deepened our relationships, as we've done some studies maybe, or as we've been a part of worship services or branched out and gotten to know God in our different ways. And it made me kind of stop and think to myself about something that I learned in a Bible study one time, and I think it bears repeating. And that is that for people that maybe don't do a lot of going to church or being a part of a Christian community, they're watching people maybe that are to see what that kind of looks like. And one of the things that I have come to notice, and I fall short on this an awful lot, is that I heard it one time said that our actions may be the only Bible that some people read. And I got to stop to thinking, boy, that might be just kind of true. You know, if people know, particularly if you are a Christ follower, they might be thinking, I know that person is attending church. I know that person has proclaimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I wonder what they're like. I'm going to kind of keep my eye on what they do, and that is going to be my Bible. I try to remember that each and every day so that I too can be that, be the person that can be the hands and feet of our Lord Jesus. And I also think about the fact that maybe it isn't just that this church service is where the church service is, but once the church service is over, then the work of the church begins. Now, how is it that we help others? Well, I'll tell you one place where I fall tremendously short, and that is, I think the way you can learn to love others is learning to love yourself even a little bit more. And I know how much I struggle with that, and I work on that on an absolute daily basis to absolutely just accept me for where I am so that I too can then take that love for myself and increase that in love others as well. I love what Pastor Scott had to say. He said, things are kind of changing as our relationship with God changes and our knowledge of ourselves changes and knowing and loving God, all that changes at times. I wonder, too, if the way we show support and love for others can change as well. Because we know that we exist as a church to know God, love God, and serve others. That serving of others. What can that look like for us? Could we take 1 month and say to ourselves, you know what, I'm going to help with that food pantry. The other month, I'm going to help with the SOS, the service of support. Somewhere I'm going to help with Meals on Wheels. I'm going to do something for the nursing homes. But you know what, this month, since now there's so much going on in our world right now, I am going to show how much I love others simply, even if I have to be in some kind of isolation, by showing that I can pray for them and being with them, even through prayer when we aren't together. Now, we're going to continue on. Pastor Scott's going to share a little bit more with us about taking those risks when we speak. Then I'll pick it up with listening.
The issue is not the issue. This is one of the things that we so powerfully explore this week, is that there's so much underneath. Jesus did this when he was in Jerusalem during that last week of Holy Week, and there were conversations that he had that really reflected that something new was going on, that he himself was learning and growing, and in as he was teaching, that he was learning himself, and he was teaching himself. So what we know is that when something happens in our lives, when we're learning and growing and changing, the issue is not the issue. Let me give you a little bit on this. When we are listening to teachings, whether they are Jesus or our parents or our grandparents or we're the ones who are doing the teaching, we are risking challenge. There are two ways that we risk challenge. One is that we risk the challenge when we speak ourselves. But then it's the other way around, and that is we risk change and challenge when we hear, when we are listening. There is a letter that John Wesley wrote. He was talking to one of his circuit riders, one of those early preachers that was out in England, and this preacher was asking, what do I do? How I feel like my faith is failing. And what Wesley, the advice that Wesley gave was this: go out and preach faith. And as you preach faith, you will gain faith. That is absolutely fascinating, and I think he's absolutely right. We risk challenge and we risk change when we are the ones who are speaking. And what you will discover is that a lot of times what you speak and what you teach and what you share is not just changing the people that are around you, not just changing the people that you're speaking to, it's changing you as well. We risk change when we speak ourselves. We risk the change. Simple, simple example. When I was a young father, and I would put my girls into the car and we would drive, whether it was one block or 1,000 miles, what's the first thing that you tell your girls in the car? Buckle up. Buckle your seatbelt. Well, then came the day. I suppose I must have been a parent for 3, 4, 5 years when I got in the car and we were just going a couple blocks and I did not buckle my seatbelt. The girls were buckled in the back, but I was not buckled in the front. And before I put that car into gear, the voice from the back came to me that said, "Dad, buckle your seatbelt." I had been preaching, "Buckle your seatbelt, buckle your seatbelt, buckle your seatbelt," and then not doing it myself on occasion. You know what? Simply because I was teaching it, simply because I was sharing it, it came full circle. And the voice came to me that said, "No, we're not going anywhere, Dad, until you buckle your belt." Simple. Simple. But there's a truth inside of that. Now, there is a risk when we are being given the teachings, when we are the ones who are listening and hearing. I want Dave to tell you about this. Ready, Dave? Go.
Really like what Pastor Scott had to share when it comes to speaking the teachings. But listening, there is so much value in this as well. As I think about what we can do for our fellow folks within our congregation, within our community, and I think about listening. When I was doing my training to become a social worker, they told me that 90% of what you do will be listening and 10% will be speaking. And that's been about the truth for me. And there's so much value when somebody has got something to say to you and all you do is just shake your head and acknowledge that you're hearing them. Sometimes, folks, that might be what some of our friends here within our church community or some of our friends within our Spearfish community or within our families, maybe that is something that they need, is just somebody that will hear them and value where they're at in their world. And I firmly believe that there is so much power in what we can do in our Christian walk when all we do is just non-judgmentally sit and listen when somebody may have some kind of issue. Because I'm so glad that that happened to me. My father had retired from the school district after 30 years, and he was in his first church. And I was at the back and from the military and at the University of Illinois, and I was getting myself in some pretty deep issues, to be honest. I was going through a divorce. I was making some not so wonderful choices. And one time, my father actually got called in the middle of the night for some of the shenanigans I had pulled. And he came down to me. He drove that 150 miles from his church down to Champaign and said, "Okay, David," because this wasn't the first time he'd been called. "Now it's time for you, I think, to stop and listen." He didn't do it judgmentally. He just said, "You are at a crossroads. You're 23 years old. I can't tell you what to do, where to go with your world. But I can tell you there's a couple of different paths you can take. You can continue down this one, and this is where it might lead you. Or you can stop and listen, take," well, he didn't say take a risk, but as we're thinking about this week's, I can think back of it now and say to myself, take that risk, change your world, and see what God has in store for you. He said, God is tugging on your heart somehow. And you are the one that can have that relationship with God to figure out what that looks like for you, David. Because right now, I'm guessing you probably feel a little bit of a distance in all of that. But if you listen to what God is saying and take a step and listen to what he's trying to tug on your heart to do, then maybe your world can still be okay. I'm so glad that I adhered to what my dad had to say that day. It took time. It wasn't a 24-hour thing. And it grows and continues to grow. My relationship with God and my relationship with God continues to this day. And it was 25, 26 years ago that all that went down. But I am so glad my father told me to slow down, stop, and listen to what God has in store in a time that was really dark in my life. And folks, I think we have a chance to do that for each other, because some of us are in higher spots in their lives right now. Some of us may be in lower spots, but we have that power and that opportunity to slow down long enough and listen and help each other out. We have one more spot here yet today. We have one more little section. Pastor Scott's going to talk a little bit about that last scripture we looked at a little bit when Jesus was tempted about taxation, and then I will finish up as well.
Two quick stories. You know, one from me, and then we'll let Dave take the other one here. One of the places that Jesus really confronted people was inside of the issue of taxation. Jesus himself never handled money. At least, we never ever hear of him handling money. The disciples did. They had to have a money purse in order to buy groceries and survive. But Jesus was confronted one day. Some of the Jewish leaders came up to him and said, "Teacher, what do we do with this?" And they showed him a coin. Jesus asked, "Show me a denarius." Their question was, "Should we pay taxes to Caesar or shouldn't we?" And Jesus said, "Show me the coin. Whose face is on it? Whose likeness is it? It's Caesar's. So give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." I was in Haiti on a mission trip once, and we were talking to our interpreter. His name was Jean-Michel, and we got to talking about the tax systems in the United States and in Haiti. And we were, of course, complaining about our taxes. Oh, wah, wah, wah. And Jean-Michel interrupted us, and he said, "Oh, my gosh, I wish that I could pay taxes that were too high the way you do." And he said, "Actually, your taxes aren't too high at all, because here's the deal. When you pay taxes, something gets done. When you pay taxes, people come and pick up the garbage. When you pay taxes, there's clean water coming out of your tap. When you pay taxes, you have electricity 24 hours a day. When I pay taxes, I just paid for the next bribe to the next official, and I don't have garbage, and I don't have water, and I don't have electricity." That really changed me to say, you know, I love paying taxes. No, really, I do. because what it means is that I'm helping me and I'm helping you. I love it that we have streets to drive on and clean water and garbage pickup. I love it that we have school systems. I love it. And so there's part of me that I've been changed and challenged by listening to the teaching of my friend Jean-Michel in how we relate to taxes. The early Christians wrestled with this. The earliest Christians said, nope, don't do it. But then later, the later Christians said, no, we're helping each other by doing that. This is one place and one way where I was changed by what I was taught. Dave, would you go ahead and finish up?
One of the final stories that you would read if you get a chance to do the Lenten study book for this week is the story of the widow's mite. And that's in there. And a mite that they were talking about was the smallest coin in terms of value in currency in the 1600s in England when the King James Bible was written. And that's where the story kind of stems from. It's called The Story of the Widow's Mite. And it's all about this woman who gives her two mites to the temple. And what does all of that mean? Well, one of the things that the story would remind us and review us is that she understands that she gave everything she had to the temple because the temple, she knew, was going to help her out. She gives everything that she has because she knows no matter how much you give, there is value in everything we give. And maybe a part of what they were kind of talking about too is taking a look at what else can we give in this Lenten season? Can we give some of our time? Can we give maybe monetarily or give some more of our time, give something of our gifts? Talking about the fact that she was willing to give it all so that, because she knew that this temple took care of her. And it reminds me of a story. When I was doing my school social work, we had this can drive to help support the food pantry right in our local community. And we had some migrant workers who had come up for the fall and the winter to do some work. And you know, the kids that gave the most to that food drive were the kids from those migrant workers. And those migrant workers were on their way back to that food pantry that week to gather food. And I couldn't help but think to myself, those young children giving back so much because they appreciate so much of what the pantry can give to them. The last thing that it kind of talks about with this story is the fact that it was a widow that came and gave all that she had. And it kind of reminds us that we maybe want to make sure that we're taking care of those who are widows within our congregation or within our community. I know that my mother still belongs to a book club that she and Dad were a part of for the longest time until Dad got really, really too sick and then and before he passed last year. But that book club still checks in on my mom. And I just think that maybe that's something we can kind of do. And I know there's an opportunity to kind of just check in on those folks maybe who are widowed or have very few family. What a great opportunity that could be too. So may it be this week that you're able to take a step back from all that's going on throughout the world right now and think a little bit about where we are with our challenges. Whether it be for the greatest commandment, to helping others, to verbally what we can learn, to listening, to the taxation, all the wonderful stuff that was a part of this service.